sometimes in life you find yourself on the right side of the line, where the skies open up and cast a towering shadow, guarding you from the worst life has to offer. And then, that same sky rips away that warm blanket from your clutching arms and casts it into the night. Now, you are on the wrong side of the line. And that's why I'm here, to keep you in line. A line we call the Dry Line.
Now a member of the Global Ag Network. I couldn't think of anything to put in that silent spot this week, Landon, but...
That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it was original. Well, then, everybody, this is the Dryline Farmer Podcast. I don't know if... Are we turning into a meaty... is this like a movie/song critics hour now or something?
Almost.
Because we're not talking about farming anymore, really.
No, we're talking cover songs.
Yeah. Well, it's better than cover crops, I guess. That's close to we can get to cover... I'll write a cover crop cover song, eh? I don't guess it's a cover song if you write it yourself.
Hmm.
Something to think about. Well, everybody, we're glad everybody's out there listening, and you're telling each and every one that you come across. I know, like, you go to the store or whatever, you go down to Gibo's, Tractor Supply. What's up in the Midwest, man? What's that gas station they're always talking about? Casey's, where they get their I guess, like, it's the best pizza in the entire world, like, better than New York or Chicago.
Better than Domino's?
Well, let's not get crazy. But actually, we had Domino's last. That's the big bonus of the kids starting up swimming again, because they get to go to Domino's once a week. She brings home Domino's with the Domino's.
Once a week? Man.
It's pretty slick, man.
Why can't we do podcasts that night?
Well, it was last night. Yeah, Monday. No. Well, we can move to Monday nights.
I have to look into that.
You don't have like softball or darts or something.
You don't get cheese pizza, do you?
No, we get, what do we get, meat? Meat lovers. Hamburger with the thing I like about Domino's is they roll their crust in the cornbread. Man, that's the shiznit right there. Good the stuff. Cornbread covers.
Do you ever get Brooklyn style crust?
Is that the deep dish? No.
It's kind of thin.
Thin crust.
But not all the way thin. It's pretty good.
I do like deep down. We went to and when we were
you like deep down?
Don't get me started, brother. Hey, we were in Chicago one here. Oh God, it's been 4 or 5 years ago when we went and visited toured the
Windy
Board
City.
Of Trade. Yeah, and it wasn't very windy.
That's not why we call it the Windy City. Because of the windy politicians.
Oh, okay. Well, boy, I figure they call it like Crooked City or Corrupt City or something, if that's the case.
Yeah, they probably should.
Anyway, so we went up there and toured the Board of Trade and everything, and my broker, he gave me a number of the guy, his trader up there in Chicago, and they gave us a lowdown on some local famous pizza place. So we took a cab. This was before Uber. Took a cab over. It wasn't the south side of Chicago, but I'm sure somebody got murdered on the day before or the day after we were there, so because I didn't hear any gunshots the day we were there. But went to this little pizza place over, I think it was in West Chicago, and it was okay. It was better than probably deep dish here in Hartford, but one time when I was in D.C. that one summer and we went up to Philadelphia and went and toured around there. And, of course, what do you get? What do you eat when you're touring Philadelphia, Landon?
Philly cheesesteak?
A Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and I couldn't have been more disappointed. I've had better Philly cheesesteak sandwiches at the Subway in Hartford, Texas on 25 Mile Avenue.
Do they make Philly cheesesteaks at Subway?
I don't know. I just had to think of a really mundane restaurant in a small town on a main brand street.
R&J's in Hartford makes a damn good Philly.
They do? I didn't think they made... I hadn't been there. Last time I was there, like the heaviest food they had there was like a BLT.
No, we go there every Wednesday. It's awesome.
Nice. So this is this is next to where the old hospital used to be, and now they store.
Yes.
Yeah. Stop it! Oh, sorry, I just yelled into the microphone. I'm gonna have to like mark that spot. This thing, and I don't know if that's even. I don't think it's recording it, but these alerts keep coming up on my computer that I need to renew my extended warranty on the computer. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, yeah. So it's we've been there. It's like four phone booths put together, isn't it? That's the size of it.
It's a glass case of emotion.
Yeah, it is, that's for sure.
It's good stuff.
So the I'm gonna have to try the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, they have a an avocado chicken wrap. It's good. They're good.
Is that before you go and buy your White Claws or after you go and buy your White Claws?
Oh, it's usually during.
It's not a very manly. Yeah. Well, I'm sure eating healthy is probably up my where I need to go. So anyway, guys, I don't know. We just got off on food there, but we didn't. Not that's what she said, but we were just talking about ranted off on it.
Really good.
I tell you what, man, you can reference everything to a Seinfeld episode. Like, food and sex. These are my two passions. If I can, you've got your strawberries, and your chocolate sauce, and what was the? It was some kind of sub sandwich or something.
Yeah.
On rye with hot mustard. Anyway, but no, this isn't that episode. That's a different episode. This episode is the we think we know better about song production, even though we've never produced a song episode, and more distinctly, we're talking remakes on famous songs that were written years before. And we're going to get into that in our main segment here after all this local Harvest Report talk we're talking going to report on. And because we figured we got to fit in a little bit of agriculture every once in a while, I guess. Is that, you think that's necessary, Landon?
Yeah, we should do a little ag.
Since we're on the Global Ag Network, yeah. And while we're talking about media sources, that's where you can find this bad boy. That's on the Global Ag Network, headed up by Delaney Howe and Mike Pearson. And you're going to find all of the other great podcasts. That's Casey the Deuce Seymour. And speaking of Casey Seymour, he does the Moving Iron podcast. We will be doing a joint podcast for the opening kickoff season, opening kickoff weekend. When is it? It's not this weekend. It's
the kickoff of what?
Football. NFL football. It's not. It's probably not for another week, isn't it?
Yeah, college is this week. Football is next.
And so we're going to record a joint podcast this week. I don't know when it's going to drop, but we're going to record it, I think, on Thursday. Landon, are you going to be available for that, or are you going to be tied up?
I think so. I think I might be able to be here. I don't think we're playing softball tomorrow, so.
Thursday. Today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Right. We're going to record it Thursday.
When you have a two-year-old, you can't just leave every night. You can't take every night off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, pencil us in if you can.
I think I can.
Well, great. Okay. Well, anyway, so that's coming up in the offing. And back to our other podcast. We've got Girls Talk Ag. I noticed they had another podcast drop here this past week. The Impossible Podcast, I believe, is what it was called. Hmm. So check that out. And you can find all of this on all the places you can find podcasts. That's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and anything and anywhere else that the billions upon billions of podcasts are put on the Internet.
Hey, Brent. What's your Twitter handle?
Hey, good thinking, Landon. Twiddle. It is at Trader Brent. And, Landon, what's your Twitter handle?
It's NoTwitLandon44.
That's where you're going to find us tweeting and retweeting the podcast episode drop. And also you can find us on Facebook, even though I don't know if Landon, I think you're the only person that listens to it via the Facebook.
True. Oh, I love Facebook. So, Brent, so, you know, we're pretty much in ag Twitter, and I think it's kind of sad when – probably the thing we looked at, probably both of us looked at most today, was somebody spelling boob and meow with their alphabet soup.
That was Sammy. That was Sammy, wasn't it? I mean, we're gonna have to look that up real quick. I gotta write down all this stuff because I gotta tweet at him. I gotta mention him in the drop. So I think it was Sammy. Let me pull her. Let me pull her up. Let's see. Okay, Sammy. Sammy. Samich? No, not Sammy. Sammy Wangsness? You think that's her real last name? Sammy, is that your real last name, or is that just kind of how you had to fit in the I hope it's her, because that's just spent a whole lot of time on it. Yeah, meow and boob. Or you think it could be B-O and O-B.
Boa.
Because they're the Boa. Well, I mean, you got your B-O, which is good, and your newer, which is good, too. So, Sammy Wangsness, I'm going to have to drop you in here. Thanks for the, I don't know, is that like, you think it's like an ink blot test, or you think that was on purpose?
Maybe it was just a miracle and it actually came out that way.
Yeah, if that's not a prophecy, I don't know what is. Yeah, so Sammy, I'm going to call it Wangsness. Or is that like the essence of Sammy, your Wangsness?
Maybe she likes eating chicken wings or something, who knows.
She's got finesse to her Wangsness, I don't know, Wangsness, that sounds, is that Spanish?
Possibly. Esposible.
Esposible. Oh, my God. Look at Will Smith in his Aladdin. I know we talked about that, but...
My first wish would be that he cuts that thing off his hair.
Oh, my God. So that's not a man. Is that a man wiener, or what is that?
I don't want to know.
Oh, God. That scared. Oh, the screensaver on the TV just popped up, and it had an Aladdin advertisement on it. So, Landon, did you like my motivational tweet? Was it yesterday or two days ago where I said life can suck, so you need us to listen to the Dryland Farmer podcast?
I did like that.
I tried to drop in a Dr. Laura reference in there, but I ran out of characters.
Man, she's good.
Man, I tell you what, she don't give. She's a honey badger of psychiatry.
Go do the right thing, Brent.
That's right. I listened to her when I was at Tech, and she was always – that was back when her kids were still in school and everything. So back then, she was her kid's mom. And I guess now she's her husband's wife. And she's not – apparently, she's not her kid's mom anymore. Now, I guess they're out of the house. She's back to being her husband's wife.
Well, her husband passed away. And,
really?
And her son is grown up, and I think she has a grandkid now. Kimmy listens to her every day.
Oh, really? So what does she say now? When did he die?
Oh.
Recently?
I think within a couple of years.
Interesting.
But Dr. Lincoln, she's setting people straight left and right.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what.
She drives one of those three-wheel motorcycles.
Oh, God, those trikes. Yeah. Those are like three times as dangerous as a regular motorcycle.
Do they have two wheels on the front? It's on the front, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, they make them both. They don't call them trikes if the single wheel's in the back. They call them a trike if it's in the front.
Okay, but, yeah, I don't know which one.
But no, I've heard they like the trikes, the single in the front. I've heard they are actually the more dangerous because if you take a turn, it gets all awkward and the weight gets off center and everything and it's all jacked up.
Kind of like when you turn a swather too fast, almost.
Yeah, I can't imagine, dude. So my brother-in-law brought out they live 10 miles south of town, and we're 10 miles north of town, and this has been a few years ago, and he brought his swather out, and it took him 2 hours. I was like, Si, what's the top speed on that bad boy? Well, it's 18, but you can really only handle it about 11, because the back wheels, or the front tires, the drivers, and also the steering. And the back wheels are just, they just freewheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man, it'll whip you off the side of the road.
Wow.
If you can't control it. But speaking of which, my dad had not a close call, fortunately, but he had a blowout he was hauling cleats yesterday and got a belly dump. And the steering wheel on the driver's side blew out. And he was coming back west of Don Cattle Feeders. And right there, if you're not really familiar with Central to Southern Desmith County, there is a feed yard, and he was headed west, and this feed yard, as you go down past it, it gets into a lake bottom, so the highway is built up about 80 feet above the lake bottom, and it falls off pretty quick once you leave the highway. So anyway, this happened yesterday, so he called me, we were at lunch and finished up, and said, yeah, I got a blowout. Anyway, so I get out there, and sure enough, I mean, if there would have been an oncoming anything, it would have been a terrible head-on collision, but fortunately it was really a light traffic highway, so because I saw the skid marks and it freaking pulled him over in the left lane, and he didn't quite, and it's like a highway with no shoulder, and he didn't quite get to the edge of the shoulder, but if he would have been on his phone or if he would have been not paying attention, it could have been a bad episode. But and as everybody knows, it's been close to a tire blowing out on a semi. That's 100 pounds of compressed bomb-making sound equipment. It's pretty scary. It's amazing how many tires have blown out close to our house going up and down the highway, but I guess we need to pull those spike strips up finally. But anyway, so that kind of segues in over to our farm talk and ag talk, because you use trucks to haul your grain to the elevator, Landon. And right now in Castro and now in Desmith County, people are hauling silage and cutting silage, Landon. What have you heard?
Oh, heard the yields aren't as good as what people are thinking.
You're thinking, I've heard anywhere. I've heard 16 tons. I've heard 13 tons. I haven't heard anything. Our best I've heard is 25 tons, and they thought it would at least make 30.
Wow.
And it wasn't even close. And they can't, once they start cutting the field, they can't get it out fast enough because the moisture drops like crazy. And, of course, I got to get the thing off the cord because that cell phone. So, do you listen to AM radio a lot?
No.
Because I listen to it all the time, and when you go by lots of telephone electrical lines, especially going up and down Highway 60. You can't hear nothing on AM radio.
Oh, I know. I have
freaking electricity. I guess, man, it is on the same frequency or same whatever.
People in their landlines.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's just nothing I can stand. But anyway, yeah, so if any market makers are listening to this episode right now, go ahead and get like contract limit long on your corn, because the corn crop in Des Smith and Castro counties in the Texas Panhandle are at least 20 to 30% lower. And I don't know if that's just going to – you know, Lynn and I were talking before we started recording, and, you know, we've got ears out there. Most all the ears look really well. Of course, the stalks are drying down prematurely due to this nasty weather. So yesterday, Lynn, did it get to 100?
I think it only got to 97, I believe.
Yeah, 97, 98. This morning, it was 60 and misting.
Yeah, it was
and it
great.
Missed it all until when I was going to go spray some cotton this morning, and of course I couldn't do it because it was.
Yeah, I don't think we ever saw the 80s today.
No, I don't think we. Well, I don't know. About 4 or 5 o'clock, the sun kind of broke out and it was getting kind of up there in the maybe close to 80.
Which were these music videos we've been living in the 80s?
Oh man, yeah. So we're gonna talk. Like I said, we're talking cover songs, remakes this week, and. I don't know if these will make it into this episode or not, but I've got a couple questions about songs, and I guess these were 90s, but a lot of gender confusion in a couple of these, and I've got some questions that maybe Landon can answer, but until then, we're going to stick with the song remix this week, and that's coming up, but first, we've got the Zany Investor Group. Now, this is a futures and options brokerage. That don't get it confused with the Zander Group, because that's the sponsor of the Ag News Daily podcast. And this is their East Texas redneck cousin. So you're going to hear from them. They're our sponsor this week. And then Radar Ricardo's got his – man, he's got an all-over-the-place forecast. And he's going to be giving that to us. And then it's song remakes on the Dryland Farmer podcast. Give us all your money! Right now! Hey everybody, Billy Zane here with the Zany Group. And after my second stint rehab for blue ice crystal meth, I have joined my dad, two cousins, and stepbrother to bring you the finest marketing advice in agriculture. Limit up, limit down. We just want to get down, because investing in futures and options is easy. We've never lost $1 of cash. We've never had one losing trade. That's right. And after my dad's third stint in rehab for sniffing glue and melting down aluminum cans and pouring them on the back of his neck, he is back. And my other two brothers, they ran moonshine for a little while, and then they found out that it wasn't illegal to sell it anymore, and so their market share kind of crashed. So it kind of went limit down on them and everything. So that's why we're here. We're on the up and up. We're on the legal. You just send us a wire so we can just start making money. It's easy. They always say the risk of futures and options is dangerous, and you should only risk capital, you know, extra capital or whatever. We say give us your grocery money, because we're going to put it to work. That's right. Maybe that spread's only $100. It's still 50 bucks a cent on the corn, and on the beans, and on the wheat. Billy Zane with the Zany Group. We want to get down with your money, and we want to get down with you.
Hey, I've always wanted to do this, eh? Hey, this is Radar Ricardo with Dana Serio, coming to you live from WMEX.
Hey,
Mato,
what you think?
Hey,
man, it's like the best ever, man. It's live.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, what did you think of that, Fred? Hey, Mato, it's like the television, like WMEX. I am Radar Ricardo, standing next to a chick with, like, double D, because I was, like, pizza cans, but chichis, yeah, you know, man. He's like a Univision or whatever, like they all start talking real fast, and like even for me, and I speak in that language, then the chichis are just like overwhelming on the girls, like on the weather ladies, they're all kind of like three-dimensional or whatever, like coming off of your TV tube, you know, your tube, you know, yeah. Don't even get me started, Vato, huh? Hey, Vato, well, anyway, nonetheless, it's going to be kind of an up and down forecast. I know, hopefully you had your, like, hottest day of the year over with, and now it's going to be like, I know yesterday morning or whatever, it was like all drizzly and like gloomy or whatever, it's kind of the same way this morning. And it's like almost like a purplish sky, like kind of Barney-ish, you know. But hey, it's cool, it's damp, and what though? I mean, what else can you expect? What else can you ask for? What though? I mean, it's been a crazy summer, I know, and like the Amazon is burning or whatever, and Richard Donald Trump wants to buy a Greenland and everything. But you know, hey, it's the time we live in, you know what I'm saying? But what though? It's gonna be like 80 today, and then it's gonna be like 97 tomorrow. And then, like, the next day, 80, and then, like, the next day, 90, and then it's, like, up and down like Diego's sister on the piñata tree. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? What you saying? Ah, don't worry about it, it's all good. But, hey, Vato, this week's sponsor, it's the Zany Group, the Zany Investor Group. The risk in futures and options is nothing, Vato. It's easy. Like, anybody can do it and just, like, margin yourself to the hills. This is Reina Ricardo, and then Azerio. Back to you from WKMEX.
All right, guys. Thanks to Ricardo. Thanks, Diego, for that team effort on your forecast. It's kind of a little more friendly than it has been. Well, guys, it's time for we're going to do a little song and dance about song and dances. And here we go. Now, you tell me that this doesn't sound like a dude. Even if it's a little effeminate.
Kind of does.
I thought this was forever the first ever transvestite country song that was ever written. Because this chick sounds like a dude. Listen. How many cigarettes do you figure she smoked? I mean, she had to smoke a bunch of cigarettes.
I don't know. She kind of sounds like a Ricky Skaggs a little bit.
Ricky Skaggs or maybe Vince Gill? No.
Maybe the guy that sang Rocky Top?
She wasn't wearing any Rockies, I don't think. But, I mean, I got the picture over here, and she was pretty shiny. This is 1983, but
she's a nice-looking gal.
Nice-looking gal back in 1983. I was just a little old two-year-old back in the day. Well, anyway, so that's going to maybe go into our question-and-answer episode, maybe, when we're going to take a few questions. Not take a few questions, but answer our own questions.
I'm going to answer Brent's questions.
Yeah, I like that idea, because, Landon, I don't know what you're going to ask me, so I just don't let you. Okay.
For a raise.
For a raise. Yeah, I keep waiting on that getting present.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your first? I'm going to let you go first, Landon, because I got to pick up my pen.
All right, so my first one, we're going to stay, I guess since we're in ag, we better do some country music remakes. So you have a rock band, ZZ Top, and they had a pretty good song called Sharp Dress Man, and then along comes Brad Paisley, and he just butchers the hell out of it with his, every girl craves a better sharp dress man, shuck him up.
See, I didn't think I ever heard that one before, when you do it in that accent, it kind of brings it close to home. So I'm going to pull it up here. I don't know if I can play it or not.
His version's every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man, especially if that man's her cousin. It's pretty rough.
It's pretty, okay.
Which one of his original songs are about checking people for ticks?
Dude, that's all about getting a piece. I mean, come on.
I know, whatever.
That's not, you didn't use that on Kimmy?
I didn't check her for ticks.
Which you weren't expecting her to have any, though.
I was hoping not.
Oh, yeah. Of course, it's in a... Let's pull it up here. You can say what you want. Brad plays, he can pick a mean guitar. Yeah, and the video just makes it all kinds of worse. So, yeah. So, tell me, what's wrong with the remake? What aspects of it do you hate the most? Is it the video? Because the video is pretty bad.
I've never seen the video. The song's horrible.
The original, though, is it a great one?
It's a good song. It's not something I crank out and have my head hanging out the window singing it to the world. But it's a good song.
I like the way, and I don't know what they do to make the guitar sound the way it does. Is that Tracy Byrd in the video? Anyway, that real kind of hard. ZZ Top is in the video.
They even endorsed it.
No. Well, that's like Florida Georgia Line's had a couple songs about Tim McGraw, and he's in the songs there to verify.
God, that's even worse.
Well, yeah, Tim McGraw's not just this is the greatest thing in the world. But
Toupee singing in the rain. Ugh.
Do you think? Yeah, ZZ Top. Of course, then Duck Dynasty used ZZ Top "Sharp Dressed Man" as their theme song. Yeah.
You know what's cool about ZZ Top? Two guys have beards, and the one that doesn't, his last name is Beard.
That is a massive amount of irony right there.
That's like art.
That's poetic justice is what it is. So
your art was the best art. All the art. all right, you're up, Brent.
TV quote. What do you do with a beard like that? I mean, don't you figure those guys get it in their guitar strings all the time?
I don't know.
What? So do you know what their names are?
One of them is like Dusty Hill.
Somebody came and had an encounter with one of them one time. They were down at San Antonio or something. And this guy came into the gun, I think it was a gun store, and he was picking out, he picked out like two or three, like the highest dollar guns they had, and ended up being one of the dudes from ZZ Top, and he paid cash for it, and then he gave him like two like backstage tickets, and they said he was a pretty cool cat, but this video, it's pretty terrible. Well, when I thought about this, when we were doing song remakes, the first one that always comes to mind, and this ZZ Top cover right here by Brad Paisley gets butchered pretty bad. But the I Don't Want to Miss a Thing debacle has got to be at the top of the bad list day of the week.
How would you remake a shitty song?
Well, Brad Paisley and ZZ Top are different enough. But what is more different than Aerosmith and Mark Chestnut?
Quite a bit.
Now, Landon, if you want to get lucky, break off a piece, and get your lady in the mood, who are you going to use to woo her lyrically? Is it going to be Steven Tyler, or is it going to be Mark Chestnut? Probably. Who do you think is going to get those pheromones rolling?
Yeah, I'm not gonna use Mark Chestnut to... I'm not going to go there and say something about some other nuts, but anyway...
These nuts.
You're probably going with Aerosmith there.
I mean, Steven Tyler, you're what... I mean, he's got the scream down. He's got the. I mean, he's just got the thing. He got the it. And Mark Chestnut, he doesn't. He's just got the country song.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I mean, it's just.
He's good, but.
I mean, yeah, he's a. I guess he's good. I mean, I like some of his. If we're talking good songs, Mark Chestnut, it's Too Cold at Home. I mean,
compared to today's country, he's a god.
That's It's Too Cold at Home. I mean, that's a 90s classic country song. It's too hot to fish, it's too hot for golf, but it's too cold at home, man. I listen to that song. I mean, YouTube, man, you can do anything and everything. It's got to be killing. I don't feel bad for him, but like the music video people, like MTV, of course they don't have music on it anymore.
They're 16 and pregnant, yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't have like 13 and pregnant or something.
Yeah, that's coming.
I like the TV show, and I don't watch it, but it's an interesting concept, 60 Days In, where these people aren't even in prison, and they go into prison to pretend to be in prison, and then they get these interviews. When do they interview them? Are they interviewing them while they're in prison? Don't you think the other actual inmates would get suspicious?
Right, yeah.
I mean, isn't the whole, the undercover boss stuff, the whole gag... where they don't know it is, and these camera crews are following them around all the time. Don't you think? I mean, even if you've been in prison for 20 years, they've got cable TV in there. They're going to be watching some A&E or some ABC, where at the end of all these reality TV shows, the people are shocked that this was not the show that they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Scared Straight show.
Isn't
that good enough? You have actual prisoners?
Yeah.
Why do you need fake prisoners?
Has life gotten that good where we have to have fake prisoners give their take on prison life?
Yeah, anything. Why is there more than one show about cake? I mean, it's just a dessert. We need to have two or three shows about cake.
Yeah. One's not enough.
Can't one cover it?
I mean, and I think there's more than one. Isn't there more than one show on drag queens?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, how many girls... I don't know. I've got a sister-in-law that watches RuPaul's Drag Race, and she is not liberal. She is not liberal. She must be weird, but she's not liberal. And yet she watches RuPaul's Drag Race, and It's just, I don't get it. So,
well, we're 10 minutes in and we've done two songs. So
yeah, well, hey, I make the rules. You know, there are no rules in this bad boy.
True.
So, yeah. But now back to this, I don't want to miss a thing. So, of course, that was the song in Armageddon. And, you know, if Mark Chestnut's playing that song during the movie, I don't think those spaceships are getting off the ground.
Maybe that's why he did it, because he didn't want to miss a thing. Like even,
oh, he missed it. Even he missed the mark.
Even the chance to do a horrible remake.
Oh, he didn't miss his chance there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Aerosmith, I mean, they've got, what, like 40 number one? I don't know how many number one hits they got. It's not many.
They have one. They have one number one hit, and it's that song.
Are you serious?
The one from Armageddon. That's their only number one hit.
What about, dude, I've got the Aerosmith greatest hits, and you're telling
me
not one of
them. I have two of their greatest hits. No, they only had one number one.
Pink?
No. They even had, God, get out of the 90s. They even had that song on the intro to Dazed and Confused, Sweet Emotions.
That's not a number one song?
Mm-mm.
I don't believe you.
They only had one number one, and they sold out to get it. Just like Bob Seger.
They sold out. You're not one of
they
those
had a
guys,
movie
are you?
Song. Maybe not sold out.
Sold out. Oh, I hate that. Why did Yahoo get changed to my default engine? Okay, Aerosmith number one hits. I don't. But that's just impossible. Aerosmith number one hits. Damn it.
HITS.
Yes, I know. Suck it. Aerosmith's biggest Billboard Hot 100 hits. Dude, look at that. He's got the skunk bill. Okay. Okay, the Rock and Roll in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yada yada yada, have notched 21 Hot 100 entries since their formation in Boston in 1970. I don't want to miss a thing. Their Armageddon Power Ballad, penned by Diane Warren, topped the chart for 4 weeks, becoming their sole number one hit. And nearly 25 years after the band first appeared on the Hot, that is unbelievable.
There's a lot of bands. I didn't mean to say sell out, but there's a lot of bands who have great songs. And their number one hits are like crappy. Like Bob Seger, he has tons of great. Like his greatest hits is two CDs, and his number one hit is that Shakedown Breakdown song from Beverly Hills Cop 2.
It's not Metallica.
Ooh, that's a good one. Turn the Page.
Turn the Page was not number one.
Mm-mm. Bob Seger's only number one hit was some crusty song from Beverly Hills Cop 2.
He loved that word, crusty. I swear to God.
But who did it better, Bob Seger's Turn the Page
or
Metallica?
Oh, they're pretty similar, aren't they?
They're pretty close.
I mean, they're pretty
closely
made.
Better, but they're both pretty good.
Metallica's pretty tight.
Which goes up to one of mine that are pretty similar, and they're only 2 years apart. John Cougar Mellencamp's I Need a Lover and Pat Benatar's I Need a Lover.
See,
they're both pretty good. John Cougar Mellencamp's is better.
I Need a Lover. Would I know it if I heard it?
I would think so.
I Need a Lover.
If anybody knew that, it'd be you.
I've got a lover. She's hot in the
sun. Easy.
Need a lover. That's a commercial. That's scary. Man, I don't even want to know. I see they're not hearing it on the deal because it's in records with the computer. Of course, there is copyright laws. So.
True.
I Need a Lover. It's got so for all, those of you not in the room with us right now, there's YouTube video and it's got a record playing on the screen here.
Good old vinyl.
I never had any vinyl records.
We had a lot of Chipmunks albums.
my mom's got a couple of Bill Cosby albums.
We even had one. We even had one that you would get in your Happy Meal. You'd get a little record from McDonald's.
I don't remember that.
And you would go back and they would sing the Big Mac song, the special sauce.
Oh,
two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. And if they sang it correct, you would take it back and you'd win a prize, which our guys made it to about the second lyric and they screwed up. So,
see, you would have thought Happy Meals cost $1 million when I was a kid because my mom would not buy me a Happy Meal, man.
Really?
She'd buy me. We go to McDonald's, but by God, she wouldn't buy me a Happy Meal, dude. That freaking box must have been made of like the Ark of the Covenant gold or something.
You didn't have all the awesome toys?
Hell no, I didn't have no.
That's how we got our Halloween buckets was from McDonald's.
What was the Grimace? I remember getting the Grimace toy. The Gumby-looking purple guy.
I remember getting, like, the Land Before Time toys and Little Mermaid action figures. Man.
Yeah, I bet you got Little Mermaid action figures.
Little Mermaid bath toys.
Oh,
good stuff.
God, that's awesome. So, I need a lover. I don't guess I need a lover because I don't know the song. John Fogerty is doing a crossroads with ZZ Top and Sharp Dressed Man. Do you know any songs by John Fogerty?
Put me in, coach.
I don't know.
I'm ready to play. You've never heard the
I'm sure
one
I
of
probably
the best baseball songs of all time? I can play center field.
Is that what y'all do on your intros during softball games?
You know it.
At pitcher and you start playing John Fogerty?
I'm out there whistling it. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Kind of like Baby Shark with Elvis Andrews.
So speaking of number one hits, John Fogerty played with CCR.
Creedence.
Yeah. And they never had a U.S. number one. They had like five or six number twos. They had a UK number one, but no US.
No US. I almost said Sweet Home Alabama, and that's Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're all from the South, aren't they?
Oh, probably.
How many times has Sweet Home Alabama been redone? That's a good question that needs to be answered.
I don't know.
Can you imagine the number of times they've sang that song? God, can you imagine how sick they must have been of that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an easy song. I mean, it's an easy I say that I hadn't mastered yet, but Sweet Home Alabama, the cadence of it is pretty simple. It's a C, a D.
Well, they kind
of
wrote it because Neil Young wrote a song kind of bashing the South, so they kind of wrote that.
How do you know all this stuff?
I know a lot about music.
You read
like
stuff?
Classic rock. Oh, yeah. Classic rock in the 80s. I know a lot. Like, did you even know, like, Leonard Skinner's main guy died in a plane crash?
Yeah, I knew that. You know why I knew that? Because in Con Air. Because
you watched Joe Dirt, too.
No, because in Con Air, the guy that plays the serial killer that everybody's scared of, and he's always plays the nerdy parts in movies. He talks about how it's ironic that they're on a plane full of convicts singing a song by a band.
Yeah, John Malkovich or whatever.
Yeah, with John Malkovich and Nicolas Cage. Sweet Home Alabama is a song by Southern rock band Leonard Skinner that first appeared in 1974. It reached number 8 on the U.S. chart in 1974 and was the band's second hit single. One of the most iconic classic rock songs never hit number 1.
Yeah, a lot of classic rock songs did.
That is unbelievable.
Yep.
I guess I just don't know anything about it. Oh, man, the creation... Man, we could do, like, all kinds of podcasts about this stuff.
Yeah, I could do music.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Every week.
Leonard Skinner, top the number 7, or number 8 on the U.S. charts. And maybe they were just all, weird about their album choices back in the day. The whole, because who does it? I guess all the radio people back in the day, back then, they...
pretty much in the 70s. If your name wasn't Elton John or Nils Bjerke or somebody...
Well, they were getting out of...
Or Three Dog Night. You weren't getting the number one song.
Jeez. Oh, okay. So you're saying only the sellout?
It was like not sellouts, but pop. I didn't mean to say sellout.
Well, you said it, so.
I know.
Songwriters are Ed King, Gary.
I guess selling out would be like Bob Seger singing the Like a Rock song and letting it go to Chevy.
Probably Chevy.
Yeah,
like
Chevy.
I don't know. What was their tagline? Heart.
Like a rock. Well, he wrote that song years before that.
Can you imagine the royalties that those songwriters, Sweet Home Alabama, have earned? It's got to be unbelievable.
It's got to be huge.
Yeah. We can totally go over lyrics on these songs, too. That's pretty wild because most everybody, do you think you know every single correct word to Sweet Home Alabama? Because they talk about, because
no,
I mean.
I know they sing about muscle shows or something.
In Birmingham, they love the governor, boo, boo, boo. I'm sure boo, boo, boo refers
boo,
to.
Boo. Yeah, they heard Neil Young sing about it.
Was that a, now That's the governor of Alabama, that was in the 60s I'm thinking of. But that was Mississippi. That was, who was the guy that ran for president? He was a big segregationist.
Oh, man.
Got attempted assassination on him. I don't know. We'll think of it in a minute. But I don't think that's who they referred. George Wallace. Yeah, George Wallace. So he was the governor of Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's who it was. It was the reference to governor of Alabama, George Wallace. I don't know if they called him Boo or Boo, but nonetheless, Boo is in there. So
what about the song Always Something There to Remind Me? The
Always
song.
Something
you ever
There.
Heard that
I
one?
Do know Always Something There. That's been, isn't that like in a, that's like the ultimate like that's soft drink commercial song, isn't it?
Could be. That's probably one of my favorite remakes. I think that one got the
And who,
remake,
who
is eight.
The original?
The original was sung by... Oh, I know
You
John,
don't know?
Well, we saw it a while ago. I know. Is it Dionne Warwick, I think?
The psychic?
No, the singer. I think it's Dionne Warwick.
She was a singer. The same chick was the psychic hotline, wasn't it?
Look it up.
Always there. Always something there to remind me of.
And then Don Williams, the General Giant, he remade it in the 70s. And then Naked Eyes made it in the remade it in the 80s.
Good God, dude. You're like a walking Wikipedia for this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
There's always something there to remind me. It's a song written in the 60s by Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
The dude from Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. And now Burt Bacharach does.
And Elvis Costello.
Yeah. Oh, God. I laugh so hard. And God, you talk about a dirty freaking. I mean, he's a commie, Burt Bacharach is. Man, he said some nasty stuff about the United States.
There it is. Dionne Warwick.
Yeah. Dionne. Okay. Where's it at? You saw it? Dionne Warwick.
Top line
in the 1963. Is a six-time Grammy-winning singer, actress, television host, and former UN Global Ambassador to the Food and Ag Organization. Hey, we got it back around to agriculture.
Nice.
So wheat. Now, where is the Psychic Hotline Network? It's got to be down here to, I don't know. It's got to be the same person. I know it's the same person. Don't even try.
You're not a very good psychic.
No. I can't reach your mind over here.
Yeah. So I think the last one I got is the band R.E.M. They do some remakes like Wichita Lineman and Toys in the Attic and Pale Blue Eyes, and they're pretty good. I'm not going to go into them, but they're a pretty good cover band.
Now, before I was a huge Dwight Yoakam fan, I was a big anti-Dwight Yoakam person, and I always remember saying, you know, he's not that good because he's just remaking Elvis songs. And he did a lot. He's did, let me pull them up here, Dwight Yoakam songs. I always say that, and then I can't remember which ones they were. Dwight Yoakam songs. Here we go. This is how prepared we are. All right. And Dwight Yoakam is, like, totally awesome and everything. So, A Suspicious Mind. That's one I know without even looking. Let's see. Not Streets of Bakersfield. You're the One. That's a good one. I think Little Sister. I think Elvis did that one. And, yeah. There's, like, three or four. Ain't That Lonely. No. But I know there's, like, three or four. He did Elvis songs, and then I finally, like, got woke to Dwight Yoakam and figured out he was awesome and everything.
Are you a big Elvis fan?
Nah. Fat Elvis or skinny Elvis?
Either one.
Did he even sing anything once he got fat?
Do you think he's still alive? Yes, he did. My parents saw him when he was pretty fat.
In Vegas or what?
And not like the PHAT. I don't know where that's going. One of our favorite stories is my dad and my granddad, they were putting up their windmill in front of my granddad's house. And my mom pulled up crying, and she was saying, I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, Elvis, you just died. And she's kind of crying. And
they lowering the flag, too, or something?
I don't know. But my granddad, I mean, just looks over, totally oblivious, and he's like, didn't he used to sing? kind of killed the mood.
Didn't he have that scandalous way where he shook his hips everywhere? And,
yeah. He did that. They were dancing.
Hell, he died in what, 70s?
78, I think.
Yeah, late 70s, so.
Supposedly on the toilet.
On the toilet. And he was like, they allegedly have like so many pounds of fecal matter in his body when he died?
I don't know.
Because he was all jacked up on, wasn't he all jacked up on meds and everything, I think? Kind of like JFK?
I don't know, man.
I mean, he died a different way, but, you know, he didn't die on the can. Which I guess JFK didn't die in the car, actually. He died.
And they lost Elvis and John Wayne within a year. That's pretty rough. Tough times back then at the end of the 70s.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Vietnam War was over, and they quit Apollo. So, you know, you can't have everything in life. Well, guys, we were, I guess, kind of talked about song styles and remakes a little bit. But,
don't we have to talk about the cowboy song?
Yeah. Let's go ahead. Okay. So, where have all the cowboys gone? Did you love it when it was on the radio?
I didn't love it, but I heard it a lot.
Yeah, I did hear it a lot.
It sounded pretty good when we listened to it a while ago.
Yeah, heck, well, it was the original version, man. So, since we're already there, I don't want to get away from this mood here. So, the Jose Cuervo song, I
blows
forever my mind. That is a chick singing that song. This is before auto-tune and everything.
I thought it was a man, too.
I absolutely thought this was some gay dude singing a song about, did I dance on the bar, did I start a fight, did I kiss on the cowboys, did I shoot out the lights? That, I mean, so we just saw on YouTube her doing a little live sit-in here recently. And, you know, of course, she's aged a whole lot because they wrote
still look really good.
She looked pretty shiny. There was a lot of Botox. I mean, But she started playing the song because she couldn't remember the words. And everybody else in there is like 75 to 80 years old.
That's what you want. Your biggest and probably only hit, and you have to have a piece of paper with the lyrics on it.
I don't think that she had any other hits because that was 1983, and that was the decade of one-hit wonders, even in country music.
That's when country was having some crossover hits with like old Eddie Rabbit, I Love a Rainy Night.
Yeah, I Love a Rainy Night.
Juice Newton playing with the Queen of Hearts. You that was a good one.
For some reason, when I saw Ronnie Millsap, I thought all country artists were all blind. Or anybody that wore sunglasses was blind. It's like, I didn't know Snoop Dogg was blind. He's just high.
What's that horrible joke that everybody says when you mention Ronnie? Have you ever seen his guitar? Have you ever seen his piano? Neither is he. It's like, real original.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before.
Yes.
So yeah, we've confirmed that it's a chick singing the Jose Cuervo song. White Town. I know everybody, millennial or otherwise, remembers White Town that sang the song Your Woman. Now, the video, we're watching it, and now we figured out why millennials are so screwed up because of the music videos that were playing in the background while they were sleeping in the crib in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. It all makes sense. So there's a little but, of course, you're a millennial, so I missed the boat by – I didn't miss the boat. I missed the wreck by a couple years.
Actually, I'm an Xennial, and so are you. And what that is
– No, because you were 80.
The 6 years between the first Star Wars, the first, like, 77 to 83, the last Star Wars, those people are considered Xennials, which is a mixture of both. I read an article.
Well, I'm an X-Wing fighter. Did you see the new trailer for the new Star Wars movie?
No, I'm about five Star Wars movies behind.
It looks pretty badass. It is they say it's the end, you know, and they're saying that about the new It movie, you know. See the end.
Is it going in the vault, like the Disney vault? Buy this movie now before it goes in the vault.
For a limited time only. We're going to only sell our bestseller product until
we
put it back in the vault.
It's going to go in the vault forever or until it becomes profitable again.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's coming out as quick as possible.
So anyway, in the trailer, C-3PO has got red eyes, so I don't know if I didn't know robots could go to the dark side, but it looks like C-3PO may be going over to the dark side. And did you know that C-3PO and R2-D2 are the only characters in the Star Wars universe that have been in every single movie?
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm, there you go. You think you know lots about movies or music. I know lots about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I know enough that the first three remakes were just, I mean, I don't know what they did. I don't know what Liam Neeson did to deserve to be in a terrible movie.
Did you like them or no?
No.
Oh, okay, I didn't either.
The first three, The Phantom Menace. The best one of those was the last one with Hayden Christensen.
I quit watching.
Yeah, but then the first, of course, now the new Star Trek movies are pretty badass.
Are you more of a Star Wars fan or a Star Trek fan?
Well, I've spent more time on Star Trek just for the sheer volume of hours that they've put out, but I do like, I don't know, I think I watch,
you're holding on to both of them and they're hanging off a cliff and you got to let one go and you can only save one. One are you pulling out?
For the great of humanity, you got to save Star Wars.
Okay.
Because I don't want, here's how I measure it. If either one's on television, and if obviously it's a rerun, I'm going to stop at the Star Wars one first. Hmm. Just because, I don't know, it's nostalgic.
Speaking of hanging off a cliff, you ever see The Good Son?
The Good Son. Is that
Macaulay Culkin goes to live with, like,
is this pre-Michael Jackson or after Michael Jackson?
I don't know.
Because I'm sure he's going to a cliff.
Anyway, Macaulay Culkin's like this evil kid, and at the end of the movie...
I think I have seen it, but I don't remember it.
The aunt's holding, like, her kid and Macaulay Culkin. No. The Macaulay Culkin's real mom lets him go at the end because he's not
evil.
A good kid. Yeah,
he was home alone too long.
He must have been.
I mean, like for three movies worth. Yeah. Or was he just on the first two?
He was in the first two.
Oh, okay. He wasn't. So now Macaulay Culkin's brother is in Signs.
Yeah, and he was in Home Alone movies also.
Oh, okay.
He was Fuller.
Oh, okay.
The one that went to bed.
I don't think I saw. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Good thinking. Now, what was Buzz? Yeah, that was his big brother.
Here's a funny story. So remember when he's going through Buzz's stuff, and he's like, Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. The director thought it would like kill a girl. To actually do that to a girl. And so what they did was one of the writers or producers got a picture, got his son to dress up like a girl.
Really?
And take a picture because they didn't want to hurt some girl's feelings. So that's actually a guy that you're looking at.
Woof.
And he just like breaks the frame.
You know, we actually saw Home Alone in the movie theater, and I mean, it was for, it shouldn't have been for my birthday, I don't think.
No, it was around Christmas.
Because it was Christmas, February.
Yeah.
It could have been.
It might have still been
there. Yeah, it might have still been there, but I remember, oh my God, we laughed and laughed. It was at Westgate Mall, man.
Yeah, that's before where we went, yeah.
That's before the big, the theaters were even in Amarillo.
I remember I was sneaking in a Big Red in my jacket, and the lid was loose, and I filled up
Big Red drink.
filled up my coat pocket full of Big Red. It was kind of rough.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'd always go to Target before going to a movie, and we'd stock up on candy.
Jeez, I swear. Well, guys, that is our nostalgic storytelling for this episode, but we're going to get out of here because we're running out of time, and we're out of time. So we don't know what we're going to do next week. We'll figure something out, and like I said, stay tuned for the joint football kickoff podcast being recorded this week, and I don't know, maybe it's live. That'd be awesome if it's live, but if it's not, oh well.
Hut-hut.
Hut-hut, there you go. Woof. But until next time, everybody, we hope, like I said, we know times are tough. Everybody, the market's down, and people are at each other's throats on the political scene, so come join us. Listen to us for 45 minutes, and if you can't roll your eyes or at least laugh once, then you can't be helped. But until next time, guys, y'all be cool, y'all be safe, and we'll ask you, what side of the line are you on? The Dryline Farmer Podcast brought to you by The Zany Group, where we say, give us all your money. They're not all winners. Hey, this is the Dryline Farmer Podcast, all rights reserved, member of the Global Ag Network. Y'all be awesome. It's 2019.